Greetings once again, retreatants. It's Pastor Bob, bringing you day one, part B of our seven-day journey with Thomas Merton. We left off part A with Merton talking about and praying about how we already have everything we need. He says everything has already been given to us in Christ. All we need to do is experience what we already possess. And that the starting point is, I am here now. So let's pick up. This is part B, day one, a seven-day journey with Thomas Merton. What is already given to me? It's God's love and acceptance of me. Already given to me is God's love and acceptance of me. Although I rest in the knowledge of this, indeed I know it is at the very root of my being. Still, I easily and often forget it. I slip back. My relationship with God needs constant renewal. Friends, that's a very important line. For us as individual seekers, for churches, for people of God everywhere, my relationship with God needs constant renewal. I have become deaf to His voice, or give it only passing semi-attention. My love has become lukewarm. I fail to see the signs of His presence in everything around me. And so I now make this prayer for myself. Let us pray. That what is lukewarm will spring again into living flame. What is dry will become living water. What is deaf and blind will return to light and to life. It is true that our love for God easily falls into tepidity and aridity. That's tepid and arid. When we do not come unceasingly back to the knowledge of His love for us. In truth, it is His love which is at the same time the cause and the term of our loving knowledge of Him. It is His love that invites us to find Him everywhere. In the Scripture, in nature, in our own hearts, in our own duties, in solitude. If there is one persistent theme in Merton's life and in his writing, it is his quest for solitude. He says, "What I needed was the solitude to expand in breadth and depth, and to be simplified out under the gaze of God, more or less the way a plant spreads out its leaves in the sun." He recognized this desire for solitude as a thirst in himself. And in doing so, he points to the same need in each and every one of us. Few of us can embrace the solitude of a contemplative monk, but the need for some solitude is essential for all of us. Not a luxury. Not a luxury. A need. An essential need. Merton would say that we need solitude not for perfection, but for simple survival in the life that God has given us. It is a return to the center. It is not something remote, something to be thought of later on, in the future, when I am not so busy, under so much pressure. No. It is now. Solitude is not found so much by looking outside the boundaries of your dwelling as by staying within. Solitude is not something you must hope for in the future. Rather, it is a deepening of the present, a deepening of the present. And unless you look for it in the present, you will never find it. He says, without some sort of solitude, there is and can be no maturity. For it is only as we confront ourselves in solitude, when we can be at ease in solitude with ourselves, that we have truly begun to live. This, as Merton was so insistent, is not escapist or self-indulgent. To spend time alone, time to find the ground of our being, is going to help us become a whole person and to make relationships of wholeness with those around us. He says, we have thinking to do and work to do, which demands a certain silence and aloneness. We need time to do our job of meditation and creation. This is all related to the natural cycle of the need for rest and for leisure, which are fundamental to well-being. Rest and leisure, fundamental to well-being. We need time to break away, to recollect, to reflect, to refresh our powers, and simply to reunite ourselves with our own center. Thomas Merton has written this: solitude is not withdrawal from ordinary life. It is not apart from, above, or better than ordinary life. On the contrary, solitude is the very ground of that life. Simple, unpretentious, fully human activity by which we quietly earn our daily living and share our experiences with a few intimate friends. But, he says, we must learn to know and accept the ground of our being. To most people, though it is always there, it is unthinkable and unknown. Consequently, their life has no center and no foundation. as our own solitude moves into silence, we pray that these days will not lead us simply into external silence, but into that deeper interior silence, that silent emptiness, where, as Merton once said, an immense depth of pure silence expands within. Now, this could be extremely alarming, for it might bring you face to face with all those naked realities which only the empty spaces of the desert reveal. Yet, this is also the place where, with Merton and many other earlier hermits, we wait for the fulfillment of God's promise. A group known as the Desert Fathers went into the desert to discover the inner meaning of their own existence, which had lost its purpose and significance in the busy life of the towns. There in the desert, they sought the answers which are not easy to come by, for they must be sought in quiet, in repentance, even in suffering. Merton says, "For no one can demand an answer as by right, and each one must be prepared to accept an answer that may be in many ways disconcerting. The suffering and solitude of the desert life are, in the eyes of the desert monks, the price that has to be paid for such an ultimate solution to the question of our existence." He says the price is not too high. That was why Thomas Merton loved the Desert Fathers so much. When he sent a copy of his book, Wisdom of the Desert, to a close friend, he called them these silent old men. You have already met them. One does not grow tired of their conversations. He says, if these men say little about God, it is because they know that when one has been close to his dwelling, silence makes more sense than a lot of words. I love the end of that sentence. Silence makes more sense than a lot of words. That is why he turned to them himself and drew from their experience, and why he points us too in their direction. He says, these monks insisted on remaining human and ordinary. The simple men who lived their lives out to a good old age among the rocks and sands only did so because they had come into the desert to be themselves. Their ordinary selves, and to forget a world that divided them from themselves. There can be no other valid reason for seeking solitude, Merton says. After Merton died, his friend, John Howard Griffin, went to live in Merton's hermitage at the Abbey of Gethsemane to work on his papers in preparation for writing his biography. He kept a journal of that time there, a time of temporary silence and solitude, because he would return at intervals to his wife and family. It was as though Griffin became, at least for a short time, a lay hermit, something with which I can identify. He writes out his experience of the demands that such an undertaking will make on anyone who enters into it with real honesty and commitment. Here's some of what John Howard Griffin wrote in his journal as he entered into silence in the hermitage of Thomas Merton. He says, "No need to hide it, the unconscious here. Here one is called to face squarely the realities of oneself, of one's body or one's mind, one's conscious and unconscious life. Not deliberately, it is just part of the solitary life, part of the natural transparency of self that is accomplished in silence and solitude when one does not try to direct it or guide it, but simply goes along with it. Part of the filtering process that takes place within, removing the impediments to love, the inner murkiness. As each person has to be converted over again each hour, so we have to be aware of our profound vulnerability each moment. Because the world demands in each of us an illusion of strength that amounts to an illusion of invulnerability. Thus, the illusion of growth that is not authentic growth. Here, where we give ourselves over to the times of nature, to the inner silences as well as the surrounding ones, where each of us just gives ourselves over, the growth is more natural. Not that unspeakable hothouse growth of the world. The reality we face is the reality of our vulnerability, which is why we can hardly escape the awareness of God's mercy. Amen. Here, in the solitude and silence, the world's images, the mystique of what a hermit should be, simply falls away. If we listen to those words prayerfully, it should help us admit our own vulnerability. So important. I think about my own need for a total honesty and for the strength to lay down illusions. And above all, I am forced to recognize my total dependency on God's mercy and grace. So now, I really am ready to hear Merton when he says, "Keep still and let God do some work." Keep still and let God do some work. Perhaps in the end, it simply amounts to becoming aware, to being totally present to this moment and ready to listen. It is all given. It is all waiting. It is available to us all the time, as Merton was never tired of reminding us. As a monk, he would always remember that he or she who is of God, hears the words of God. That's from the Gospel of John, chapter 8, verse 47. For at the start of every day of his life, Merton would sing these verses of the psalm. Oh, that today you would listen to his voice. Harden not your hearts. That call to listen becomes an urgent call to me today. Today, this hour, this moment, we should be alert, for we might miss something that is given to us, something addressed to our heart, to our innermost self. These days, this retreat can become a way of reminding us of what should be there all the time, a listening, hearing, and responding to that continuous conversation, that speaking with God, that easy and natural meeting of two persons with one another in dialogue. As we close day one, part B of our retreat, listen to the opening word of the rule of Saint Benedict. This is the rule by which Thomas Merton lived. If we are also going to be true to our calling, our vocation, we must go on listening for this voice. There is such a danger that we talk about God and enjoy talking about God and never stop, and in the silence of our own heart, listen to God speaking. Words from Psalm 116. The reality that is present to us and in us, call it being, silence. And the simple fact that by being attentive, by learning to listen, or recovering the natural capacity to listen, we can find ourselves engulfed in such happiness that it cannot be explained. The happiness of being at one with everything in that hidden ground of love for which there can be no explanations. May we all grow in grace and peace and not neglect the silence that is already printed in the center of our being. It will not fail us. Indeed, it is more than silence. Jesus spoke of the spring of living water. You remember? Let us pray. Alleluia. I love the Lord, for he has heard the cry of my appeal. For he turned his ear to me in this day when I called him. How gracious is the Lord and just. Our God has compassion. The Lord protects the simple hearts. I was helpless, so he saved me. Turn back, my soul, to your rest, for the Lord has been good. He has kept my soul from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from stumbling. Here, now, I will walk in the presence of the Lord in the land of the living. Amen.